Are you a weary woman? Are you married to a weary woman? Or you have a friend who is weary? Perhaps the reason for the weariness is partly because of the expectations on Christian women today. Elise Fitzpatrick posted a question on social media a while back. She basically asked, what are the dumbest things people tell women concerning how to be godly? She thought she'd get a few responses. She was overwhelmed by the volume of response as well as the depth of the comments and how they struck at the heart of the women who answered. I want you to hear from Elise today because it takes all of us working together to push back against the errors concerning what a godly woman really is. I believe that. And we're going to talk about it straight ahead on Chris Fabry Live, the program from the heart to the heart for the heart. And my guess is somebody is going to feel less alone today because of this conversation. You can find out more about our guest and resources we have for you at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Thanking our team as we start, Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Trisha is our producer in the chair. Lisa will be answering your calls today. This is our first live broadcast for a week. I was in Chicago last week, so it's great to get back to my regular broadcast chair. And I have to tell you, I've been reading Glenna Marshall's book, Memorizing Scripture, and I came across a passage in Ephesians 4 that Glenna mentioned, and I wrote it down and I thought, you know, I don't memorize as much anymore because, you know, I've got it in my hand. I can Google whatever. I can remember a couple of words and get to the passage. But I haven't memorized as much lately. And I came to this in Ephesians 4, and it says, I'll read it. You know, I could close my eyes and try to do it. Bear with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I just ruminated that in the airport and then on the airplane and coming in, and just allowing those phrases to kind of wash over me. And something happened. It worked on me from the inside out. But a lot of people today say, you don't know me. You don't know my brain. I can't remember a whole lot of anything. I want to send you a copy of Memorizing Scripture. See if Glenna's words will motivate you and give you a vision, a hope that you really can hide God's word in your heart, no matter what your age. And that activity will change the way you think, change the way you react in some ways, connect you with the real power source, which is God himself. Call or click through today, chrisfabrylive.org. You can see it right there on the homepage. Scroll down, you'll see how to be a partner or a friend with us, chrisfabrylive.org, or call 866-95-FABRY, 866-953-2279. This is our thank you in the month of March, which we're quickly getting on the other side of, down the middle of anyway. Okay, you know what I mean. Elise Fitzpatrick holds an MA and a certificate in biblical counseling. She's written 25 books or so on daily living and the Christian life. She's a frequent speaker at national conferences, including the Called Conference at Moody on April 13th. We have a link to that conference at our website, chrisfabrylive.org. She's been married more than 40 years to Phil, 3 adult children, 6 grandchildren. She's joining us today from Escondido. Elise, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Do you agree with me about the power of scripture memorization that I just talked about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I do think it's important to spend time in certain passages, seeking to memorize them, make them part of you. And in addition to that, just being in scripture as much as you can to just let it permeate your thought. You know, I've been a believer since 1971, which makes me a little old, and I've spent pretty much every day, not every day certainly, but pretty much every day in scripture and memorizing scripture and just letting it, listening to it, letting it be part of how I think. And, you know, it's just so important, I think, particularly now, because there are so many voices speaking to us, I think, particularly as women. And we need to have the truth embedded in our hearts, and memorizing it is the best way to do that.
Yes, because you ruminate, because you give the spirit something to work with, and I've heard people say that. But what you just said kind of puts the finger on our topic today, because there's someone listening, there's a woman listening who heard you say, I've been in the Word every day for 50 plus years, and she's going to say, oh no, Elise is going to tell me that I have to have an hour quiet time. She's got to tell me that I've got to memorize all of Romans and Psalm 23, et cetera. Elise is going to give me a list about being a godly woman. And that's exactly the opposite of what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. And I've been a Christian for more than 50 years, but really getting to know Scripture and getting to know the Lord is not something that I want to codify by saying, okay, you need to spend an hour a day in Scripture. Listen, really up until the last maybe 100 years, most Christians didn't even have a Bible. And that's not to say that we shouldn't use the Bible or have it be part of our lives. We're so immensely privileged, but obviously there are people even today around the world that don't have the Bible. And so then they listen, and thank God, you know, I hate to even say this, but thank God for the internet, because people are able to listen to Scripture now in ways that they never have before. But the thought that, and this is really what I'm trying to get at, the thought that if you don't spend an hour a day in Scripture, or you don't have a specific quiet time every day. And listen, I read the Bible pretty much every day, and I have a time with the Lord pretty much every day, and have had for 50 years. If you don't do that, somehow you are less than what God wants you to be. And so I think that the message that women are receiving is a message that really ends in condemnation or them feeling guilty. And Chris, you know, you don't ever want to be around anybody that you know disapproves of you. Right. I used to have an aunt that I was pretty sure she didn't really like me, but my mother would say to me, go visit Aunt Biddy. That wasn't her name, but anyway, go visit Aunt Biddy, because you know you should go see her. And I didn't want to go see her because I knew she disapproved. You know, if we come to quiet time or reading Scripture or memorizing Scripture because we think we're going to try to earn God's affection by doing it, then when we don't do it enough, and honestly, for my heart, it's never enough, then we'll think that God is somehow disappointed in us or disapproving of us, and we won't want to be around Him. The thing that will make us want to be around the Lord is really ruminating on and remembering how He has loved us in Christ and called us already perfectly forgiven and perfectly obedient because of the work of Jesus Christ, His Son. And so because of that, then I want to be around Him, and I want to know His Word, because I know that He loves me, and what He has for me is good. You know, as a grandma, my kids know that I love them. My grandkids know that I love them. And they, I believe, want to be around me, probably more when they were littler. now that they're all teenagers or older, maybe not so much, but they wanted to be around me because they knew that if anybody on the planet loved them, it was me. See, we can tell people, you need to memorize scripture, you need to pray, but you know, if you think that God really doesn't approve of you, or you're maybe not working hard enough that he would approve of you, if you think that, you're not going to want to do it. You can force yourself to do it, but you're not going to want to.
Yes. I want to ask you, as you listen to Elise Fitzpatrick today, her question was, what are the dumbest things people tell women concerning how to be godly? You want to answer that question? What is the misconception? Or maybe you think, no, this is what you've been told in order to be godly, and you've been on that treadmill. I want you to call us today, 877-548-3675. What have you been told, or what is that you're concerned about? One of the questions that Elise asked in the video that I saw was, does your Christianity feel like rest for your soul, or does it feel like another obligation? Because Elise feels like there's an awful lot of exhausted women. And to talk about the called conference that she's going to be speaking at Moody in April, is like, you feel too exhausted to be called to do anything more. Yeah. So you don't need that. I mean, that's what you might think. I hope you call 877-548-3675. That's our number. Go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. You'll see a featured resource there. You'll see a link to the Called Conference, a book by Elise called Worthy, Celebrating the Value of Women. And if you are weary, I want to let you talk with Elise today. 877-548-3675. Elise Fitzpatrick is joining us today at the Radio Backyard Fence. She is one of the keynote speakers at the Called Conference. It's a one-day conference at Moody, April 13th. And if you're in the Midwest, be thinking about that. Equipping Women in Ministry Leadership. I wanted to have Elise on here today to talk about that weariness that a lot of women feel, the treadmill that you're on as a wife and a mom, employee. You could be single, you could be married, doesn't matter. You can feel the expectation that is growing. And maybe it's more from inside than outside. I mean, we have to deal with that. But I wanted her to talk about the restedness that you want us to feel, or you want us to at least consider. But before we do that, answer the question. When you posted that question on Facebook, the dumb things people say about what a godly woman is or does, what was the response that you received?
You know, thank you for that. I was really kind of shocked. And I mean, I ended up receiving hundreds, if not thousands, of responses from women across the country, and really pretty quickly. I mean, everything from decorate your home so that it looks like a magazine to making your own laundry detergent so that, you know, you're sure you're washing your family's clothes in organic suds.
Yes.
to having, you know, this hour-long quiet time every day, or making sure that your voice is always moderated so that you are quiet. All of those things. I mean, I just some of them were shocking, you know, like never admit that you're struggling, because that means that you're not trusting God or obeying the Lord, or don't ever be transparent about the way you struggle. On the other hand, there's things like do all the things that you're supposed to be doing for the Lord, and then he'll give you whatever it is that you're desiring, the desire of your heart, which, you know, of course, all of this, every bit of it, is really part of this moralistic system, which says that if you live in a certain way, and however you want to define that, from the silliness of, you know, growing your own wheat. And if you want to do that. That's great. Or, all the way to never correcting your husband. all of that, you know, being quiet all the time is really simply a way to try to earn God's favor. And all of that really flies in the face of the gospel and what Jesus Christ has done. You know, we don't have to earn God's favor. We already have God's favor because of the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's folly, and honestly, it just will exhaust us to try to earn God's favor when we already have it.
Yes.
But then also, our hearts are never going to be satisfied that we've done enough. And then, of course, whenever we face difficulty, suffering of any kind, that kind of thought that you have to earn God's favor will then come back around and say to you, see, God is mad at you. That's why you're suffering. So we want to encourage women and women who believe that they're called to help other women. And that's one of the things we'll be doing at the Called Conference. But we want to encourage women to know that their confidence is in the Lord and what He has done, not in themselves and what they can do in order to perfect themselves or their ministry to others.
But the more comfortable, controlling way to live is mm-hmm. the quid pro quo. If I do this, God's going to do that. And so then people walk away from their faith because God didn't do that, and I thought I did this. And so, you know, we call Him on the bargain that we made, but He didn't, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And then we try to figure it out. Well, what did I do wrong here? There's another one you mentioned in the video. If your children misbehave, it's because you don't have enough faith. You know, if life goes off the rails with your kids in some way, you're the problem. And sometimes parents are culpable for things that they've done, for decisions that they make. Absolutely. But your children's lives are their lives, and they have to make their own decisions and find their own way. And for you to then take the responsibility of that and live under the condemnation, like you were saying, of that is an exhausting, soul-stealing proposition, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think particularly for parents, because so much has been said about the things that parents should and should not do that would, in essence, assure them that their children would become, you know, superstar believers. And I know that when my kids were young, and they're all in their 40s and 50s now, but when my kids were young, I really felt like if I could just be a good enough parent, if my husband could just be a good enough parent, then our children would serve the Lord. And honestly, thankfully, and not because of anything I did, out of sheer grace, my kids do love the Lord. But I know that I really drove them because I was afraid that they were not going to be the kind of people I hoped that they would be. And I've talked to parents really across the country who carry so much guilt and shame because their children that they raised, hopefully they thought to serve the Lord, have turned their back on the Lord. And what I want to say to parents who have kids in the home right now is you're not responsible for your children's salvation. And I say that to parents whose kids are out of the home. There is only one person who's responsible for your children's salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And so that's something that the Lord has to do by His Spirit, and He may or may not use the work you do with your kids. And honestly, I think we exhaust them and we exhaust ourselves, always trying to look through what they're doing, what they're saying, trying to assure ourselves that we're doing the right thing. Parenting is just one of those, one of the many, many areas where women are just exhausted.
Yes. I want to go back to something you just said a minute ago about struggle, though, that the one of the things that exhausts women is don't tell anybody else about your struggles. Keep it to yourself. It's almost like you, we are told, some are told, don't have struggles, because right. if you have struggles, then you're a failure, and you don't want to be a failure as a Christian. And I think exactly the opposite. And we were just talking about this last week with a couple of friends of mine. It's like struggle. If you're asking the question, have I committed the unpardonable sin? You haven't, because you're asking the question. You're worried right. about it. You know, you're right. you're struggling in your relationship with God, and you want to feel okay. And that desire to feel okay, I get it. But at the same time, you've got to exercise that faith muscle at that time to allow God to show you this is not about you trying harder. It's about Him at work in your heart. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really something that, you know, there's this that we have to hold in tension. There is a balance, which, you know, that's a difficult word, but there is a balance between really understanding the ways in which I continue to live the way Paul talks about in Romans 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the very things I do. So there's that part, but then there's also an understanding that it's the grace of God that's causing me to grow and change. So what I don't want to do is be the sort of person that says, I've got my act together, be like me. On the other hand, I don't want to be a person who says, I'm not growing at all in the Lord. I want to. And, you know, Paul, the one who wrote Romans 7, also said, I am pursuing, basically with everything I have, God's upward call of my life in Christ Jesus, so that, you know, we hold that intention, Chris. I am both a sinner and a saint at the same time. And so I want people to know, hey, I'm no different than you. I'm just like you. So you can have hope that the Lord will use you. But also, on the other hand, I want to say, I want to press hard after the Lord and what He's called me to do, which means that I live a life of confession and repentance.
Yes. And it strikes me that as far as the struggle goes, it's when people have called, well, it's when the psalmist really gets real and mm-hmm. says, how long, O Lord? You know, mm-hmm. why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you hearing the cry of my heart? I feel like this. Right. And the psalmist usually, by the end, brings himself around to the truth of mm-hmm. of who God really is. But on this program, when people will call in and we'll talk about their own struggles, that is so comforting to other people, is to say, I'm not alone. There's somebody else that's in the same. So admitting that and talking about that mm-hmm. can be one of the most freeing things that you do for yourself and others in the body, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I love it when my pastors, and I have two elders in my church who carry the primary preaching of, you know, the messages to my church. And I love it when they are transparent and say, you know, today we're talking about, let's say, anxiety. And I want you to know, this is how I struggle with anxiety. See that, you know, I think some people think, well, you know, when you say that, then that means that you're not really, you know, walking in faith or something. Listen, that really encourages me that somebody that I know loves Christ also struggles in a way that's similar to ways that I do. And that gives me hope that God can use me as well.
Amen. All right. Is this striking a nerve in your own heart as you listen today? I'll open the phone lines again, 877-548-3675. Elise Fitzpatrick is with us today. Find out more about her at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Roland Warren sent an email a little earlier today. Roland is CEO and president of CareNet. And he told a story about Valerie. Valerie said, "I'm a miracle. When I had been in my mother's womb for almost 3 months, the doctors declared a miscarriage and performed a D&C abortion. 2 weeks later, my mother knew she was still pregnant. And around her initial delivery date, I appeared a healthy 9-pound, 22-inch baby without a scratch on me. I met the doctor who performed the D&C years later. 'Valerie, I know I did a good job. You shouldn't be here,' is what he said. That experience reminds me," Valerie says, "every time I sit across from a woman considering abortion that life is a miracle. It was never my plan to work at a pregnancy center, but here I am, every day, embracing my own God-given story. How I survived, only God knows. But I'm alive, and in the mornings I pray I am living God's plan when I offer hope and a future to women frightened about the unknown." That's the kind of person working with and for CareNet today. Click the green button at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. There's a welcome there to you as a listener to this program. You can download a free devotional, a lifeline of hope. It's a 40-day free devotional. And there are other things that the other really good thing is that you'll start to pray for people like Valerie on the front lines and for the men and women who are struggling to make this life decision. Click the green CareNet button. Find out more about the Pro Abundant Life Ministry of CareNet. Right there. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. Elise Fitzpatrick is joining us today at the Radio Backyard Fence. She's written a book called Worthy, Celebrating the Value of Women. We have that. Click through today's information and the audio, and you'll be able to see that. She's also speaking at the Called Conference at Moody Bible Institute on Saturday, April 13th. And there's information about that as well. We have a green button for everything for you today. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. And if you are a woman in the Midwest and you feel like there's something more, and this is not to add anything, Elise, this is not to add to a woman's expectation. You have to do this in order to be a godly woman, right?
Right. You know, yes, we're spending some lovely time here this morning talking about how it's important to rest in what Christ has done. And then we're talking about attending a conference on being called to serve others, your sisters, your family, those around you, because of what Christ has done for you. And, you know, I think, Chris, that the thing that really makes a difference is, do you want to serve God because you're trying to earn something or prove something? Or are you serving God out of gratitude? And honestly, if you're serving God because you're trying to earn something or prove something, or you think things really depend on you, then that's going to be onerous. It's going to be really, really difficult. But if instead you're wanting to serve those around you, and you can do that really well by coming to the CALD conference, you can learn about how to do that. If you're doing that because you recognize that you are loved and that you are called to rest, to do your work from a place of peace, and you are filled with gratitude because of what the Lord has done for you, then that'll make all the difference in the world. Recently, Chris, I had an opportunity to visit a ministry here in San Diego. And I was really touched by the fact that there were people who were suffering. In my lovely city in San Diego, I was really touched by that. And I thought, you know, Jesus saw me in my suffering, in my in the troubles that I had in part made for myself, but also that, you know, were just part of living life. And he didn't look away. Therefore, I don't want to look away from the suffering that I see around me. And you see, it's that motivation, Chris, that makes the difference between whether or not I'm working to try to get approval, to yes. try to get the approval of others, or to try to get the Lord's approval, or even my own approval, to try to prove something, or if I am working because I'm filled with gratitude for what the Lord has done for me, even though, of course, I don't deserve any of it. Yeah. But you see, if there's that gratitude, Chris, he didn't look away from you, and he hasn't looked away from me. And those of you who are listening here today, the Lord hasn't looked away from you. Therefore, because of that, how can your life be spent not looking away from the suffering that's around you, but instead pouring your life out to help others find that joy and rest that Christ talked about?
Or feeling like I have to solve all the problems and taking on,
right.
and then feeling like, well, if I can't solve all the problems in the world, I'm not going to do anything. You know, it paralyzes. Mm-hmm. And the enemy loves to do that. He loves to yes. sow that in your heart, that it's like, don't do that, because then you're going to have to do this and this and this, and you're not enough mm-hmm. for that. Looking away, that's a really good way to put it. And maybe there's mm-hmm. a woman listening today who feels like, I feel like God has looked away from me. Let me bring mm-hmm. Stephanie into the conversation. Hi, Stephanie, you're on with Elise.
Hi, Elise. Hi, Chris.
Hi,
great to have
Stephanie.
You. To go right ahead, Stephanie, what did you want to say?
I just wanted to thank Elise for bringing this topic up in regards to us women and in the church, and where we're not sharing and being authentic with each other, where the enemy has us in a place of bondage when we're not sharing with each other. This is something that I've been struggling with for a while, and in this season, he just shows me that, you know, silence keeps us in bondage and creates more victims. And it seems as the church, we're focused on the outward, on the world, and doing good and doing works, but we're not addressing the issues within the church and within our family. That's all I
you
have
know what,
to say about
Stephanie,
that.
I hear a little voice behind you too. How yeah. old, do you have a child there?
I do. She'll be 2 on March 30th. I actually have 4 children.
Do you have 4? So this whole feeling exhausted and I got to do more, that kind of resonates with you as well, right?
Yes, as I sit here in front of my online schooling, going back to school for Christian ministry, yes.
Wow. There's a lot going there. Elise, because, what do you say?
Yes. Well, first of all, Stephanie, thank you. Thanks for calling. Thanks for being the woman that you are, that you're seeking to minister to your children, your family, and also to women around you. So you're taking courses to do that. That's really beautiful. So thank you for that. I really agree with you that there needs to be a place, and it needs to be a safe place where you can talk about the kinds of struggles that you have with others who agree with you, who are in the fight with you, and who can be encouraged as they watch you, as they watch you even in the struggle and continuing to persevere. So, you know, thank you. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, I really want to encourage the women who are listening. You know, there's a thing that goes on social media where, you know, your house is supposed to look a certain way and your kids are supposed to look a certain way and you're supposed to be, you know, healthy and fit and all these things. And, you know, none of that is wrong in itself. But so many women don't feel like they're measuring up, and then they keep that as a secret. Or perhaps they're even being sinned against by someone, and they keep that as a secret because they think that they're not supposed to talk. And I just want to, encourage women who are listening to find two or three trusted allies with whom you can share what's going on in your life, and then that you can pray for and encourage one another. And, you know, we need to stop pretending that we are somehow better than we are. And then remember that the Lord is with us through it all.
I was just going to ask you, so how do you find a safe place? Because I agree with that. And you just answered it. But let me ask you again. You say find two or three. How do you find those two or three? How do you know this person is safe and is an ally, rather than someone who will bring more expectation to you? Mm-hmm. Or do you, or can you know that?
You know, that happens in relationship. It happens in community, and it happens over time. So, you know, I obviously you can go to someone who by vocation is a counselor and can help you. And I believe that that's a really wonderful resource for women. But also to build relationships with people with whom perhaps you share a little bit of your life to see, okay, are they going to be trustworthy with what I've given them? Are they going to point me toward Jesus Christ? And, you know, he's the one that says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in soul, and you will find rest for your soul. So Jesus, is this a person who's going to point me toward the Lord and the rest that he's offering me? Or is this a person who just wants to give me some easy fix, you know, five steps to being a better you? That happens in community and relationship, and it's not something that generally happens overnight.
It also strikes me that we've been talking about struggle, and Stephanie, thank you for being totally vulnerable and honest with us here today. God bless you, friend. When a person who is okay with your struggle or okay listening to what is really going on, and even asks more questions. Well, tell me more about what is going on, and is not there so that they can give you, you know, five verses and send you a link to a sermon that they just heard. Although that can be good too. I'm not saying don't give that. But if their desire is to be with you, to be present with you, I think that's a hint. This might be the kind of person that Elise Fitzpatrick is talking about. If you go to the website, chrismabrylive.org, you can find out more about that CALLED conference that's coming up in April in Chicago at Moody Bible Institute. Just go to chrismabrylive.org. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. Elise Fitzpatrick, author, speaker, is joining us today at the Radio Backyard Fence, and I wanted you to get this on your radar if you're a woman and you're in the Midwest or maybe outside the Midwest and can make it to Chicago in April, the CALLED Conference. We have a green button for you. Click the CALLED Conference. You can find out more about all the speakers, all the workshops, all the worship that's going to go on. But Elise is one of the keynote speakers, and she's written a number of books, including one that she wrote with Eric Schumacher called Worthy, Celebrating the Value of Women. And that plays into our conversation here today. So click through today's information. You'll find out more about that. Worthy, Celebrating the Value of Women, as well as information about the CALLED Conference. Hey, men, this might be, if your wife is just feeling this call to be called and to do, you know, be all she can be, this might be something that you can help with as well. So again, it's at the website. Click the green button for the CALLED Conference at chrismabrylive.org. Elise, what gives women value then? If it's not in what I can do, the treadmill I can get on, the success, you know, here's Elise. She's written all these books. She's a plenary speaker, et cetera, et cetera. So you're saying that's not the value of women. Where is that value? Where does it come from?
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Well, of course, first of all, my value comes from the fact that as a woman, I have been created in the image of God. And so, you know, in Genesis, God says, let us make mankind in our image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So as a woman, I have value simply because I am created in the image of God. And I think it's really important for women to rest in the fact that they are created in the image of God, neither more nor less than their brothers. So both male and female are equally created in the image of God. So that gives me value to start out with. But then secondarily, as a believer, as someone for whom Christ died, then I have ultimate value to the Lord because, and not because of what I have done. You know, it's that song that we sing all the time. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. So it's because of the perfect life, sinless life, the substitutionary death, the bodily resurrection, and the bodily ascension of Jesus Christ that I have put my faith in. And of course, that faith is a gift. Ephesians 2 tells me that faith is a gift. So I have that faith in Christ and what he's done for me, and that gives me ultimate value. What that means is, as Jesus said in John 17, that I am loved with the same love with which the Father loves the Son. So why do I have value? Do I have value because I write books or, you know, speak, or because I'm a grandma, or because what you fill out the list? No, those are not the things that give me value. Those are many of them things that I have done out of gratitude for the fact that I have been declared a person of a human of value because of the work that God has done for me. And so what we did in the Worthy book was just basically start in Genesis and go all the way through the book of Revelation and highlight all the ways that God said, this woman, because of who she is as a daughter of mine, is a person of value. And that's too what we hope to do at the CALD conference, is to say, you know, you're feeling a call to serve God. That's wonderful. Don't think for a minute it's all about you. It's because of what the Lord has done and will do by his power and grace through you.
Yes.
So I have great hope. I have great hope that even though I fail, and I'm not just saying that, you know, willy-nilly, oh yeah, I'm fail. I'm like, no, actually, my heart tends to be kind of a dumpster fire. Even though I do that, I know that I'm of value to the Lord because he created me and he redeemed me and he will bring me home.
You know, it makes me think, let me tell you, the CALD conferences, we have a link, a green button, chrisfabrylive.org, and you can find out more about Elise Worthy, Celebrating the Value of Women. But it makes me think, especially coming up to Palm Sunday and then all that happens during Holy Week, the vital place that women played in that, in the way that that story worked itself out, and God in his kindness involved men and women, you know, being there to see the risen Lord, to see his suffering and his agony and to be there. It's really, really great to think about. And Elise, our time, I knew it'd fly by. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Come back again, okay?
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much.
Elise Fitzpatrick, she's going to be speaking at the CALD conference. We have a link at the website if you're in the Midwest. April 13th is the date for that. ChrisFabryLive.org. Our program is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. Thanks a lot for listening.